Now we're holding on the last line of Mem Vav Amud Beis. We started talking about Kinyan Chalifin, and in particular, we were discussing the question of Matbeya Nasa Chalifin or Ein Nasa Chalifin. Are you able to use a coin as the object by which Chalifin is going to be done, to use it as the equivalent of the Suder, for example, or not? And we had different opinions about it, and we said that most of the Amoraim held that most of the Amoraim, what we mentioned, held that you cannot. Because we said that when it comes to coins, you're really focused more on tsura, and tsura sa'avida de batla. We said that the tsura, the design on the coin may be batal in the sense that the government may order that this kind of coin is no longer to be used. So therefore, it's not like a keli. And we learn, as we're going to learn later on in the sugya, that chalifin has to be done with a keli. We also discussed the question whether coins can be acquired through Chalifin. And in the end, we said also not. Your papa had said that according to both opinions, you could at least acquire them with Chalifin. But then we said your papa changed his mind. And we discussed that when we discussed various angles on that point. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rava Bar Ravuna, Mocharli Be'elu. Here's another case. A person says to somebody else, sell me such and such with these. So he like grabs a handful of coins, and he says, sell me for this money. He doesn't, the other guy doesn't ask how much money are we talking about. He just accepts it. So there is a valid kinyan. Now on the face of it, now remember, we've been learning about that when you buy something, there's two ways of looking at it. You could be having where you're doing betodas domim, where you're doing it as a monetary transaction, where there though you would expect that you're gonna have you're paying X amount. So then in other words, the amount you're paying is known and the value of what you're paying, of what you're getting is known. And then you have Torah's Chalifin, which is, after all, when you do a Kinyan Suder, you're not you don't care about the value of the Suder per se, but the Kinyan is still effective. So what is so? So here we're going to see, we're going to work out in the Gemara what kind of Kinyan this is, which of those types of Kinyan this is. So here we're saying it works as far as a Kinyan, so neither one can change his mind. The Yeshle all of Aina, but there is Aina. There can be a claim of Aina. The next may after we deal with in our Perek. Over the next couple of blocks, after we finish dealing with the whole matter of Kinyan and with what it said in the Mishnah about Mishapora and all that, after that, the next major topic we're going to be talking about in the Perek is about Einah, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to blow sonu isha samisa, you're not allowed to defraud one another as far as the prices of things. So you can't, you're not allowed to overcharge or underpay for something subject to the rules that we're going to learn in most of the rest of the parak, beginning on Daf Nun. Anyway, so here we're saying, so here he picked up a handful of change and said, Mecholi Be'elu. So there is a valid kinyan, but there is a no. If later on the guy realizes that the amount you paid him is a certain amount less, a certain percentage less than the value of it, then he has a claim of Aina as far as the dinim that we're going to learn later on in the Perek, when he can say when we say that he's moichel, when we say that he's entitled to get reimbursed for that extra amount, and when we say that there could be bittul mekach that he could say that I want to change my mind that I don't want the sale to go through altogether. And the point is, so kona afal gavdolay moshach. So we're saying there is a kinyan, even though he didn't do mashicha. Nevertheless, the kinyan is still valid, even though there was no mashicha. Now, on the face of it, that sounds like kinyan kesef. And the question is that we know that you can't acquire metalpelin with kesef. So the Gemara is going to take up that point soon. But anyway, the point is, given to like kofid, since we see that the seller was not makbid to ask how much money we're talking about, kona, then therefore he's kona to ki chalifin dummy, because in effect, what it is that this amounts to Kinyan Chalifin. So again, you're going to have the question that, wait, we're using money over here for Kinyan Chalifin. How can we do that? We'll get back to that point soon. But the point is that right now we're saying that it works on those grounds. The Yeshle, all of Aina, the reason why the concept of Aina applies, the Mecholi Be'elu Kamalei, because after all, he said, sell it to me for these. The point is, he used the word Mechur, which means, in other words, that it has some of the dinim of a sale. So therefore, on the one hand, you don't need mashicha. On the other hand, you do have the dinim of a sale in terms of aina. In effect, what you have over here is you have a hybrid. On the one hand, he said mechur. On the other hand, he said be'elu. So the Ran points out mechur suggests a mechira, where you have the usual dinim of mechira. Be'elu suggests that we don't know how much it is, but I'm willing to accept it anyway. That's why we have this hybrid that on the one hand works as a form of chalifin, and on the other hand, or not really chalifin, as we're going to end up saying, but we'll see soon. And on the other hand, that it's considered a sale in terms of Aina. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara continues. So he said, which therefore has that kind of hybrid din. The Gemara continues, Rab Abba, Omer Rav Huna, Mechodi Be'elu Konav Einloy, all of Aina. On the other hand, Rab Abba says in the name of Rav Huna that no, actually we would consider it completely like Chalifin, in the sense that it would be a valid kinyan, and there's no dinah nah because since he agreed to sell it without even knowing how much he's getting for it, then therefore we can't say, says Rav Abba, that there should be any nah involved. So not like Rav Chista. Not like Rabba Omer Rav Huna, rather. We have Rabba Omer Rav Huna and we have Rav Abba Omer Rav Huna. So they're all arguing what Rav Huna said. Okay, so the Gemara points out, now, it is obvious that Domim V'ein Makbid Aleihen, when you have a case where he's selling for money and the other guy doesn't care how much money it is, with the case that we just had, Hakamir and Dakani. Well, that's the case. We said he is Kona, so Reuven picks up a handful of coins and says, Mecholi Be'elu, and Shimon agrees, then we know for sure that's a valid thing. The only question is, we have Rabba saying that Rav Huna said there is Aina, and Rav Abba saying that Rav Huna said there's no Aina. Dekach Chalifin Domu, and the reason would be because it's like Chalifin. Now, on the other hand, the question is, Chalifinu Makbid Aleihen Mai, what about the opposite? What about when you're doing in the form of Kinyan Chalifin, but you are Makbid? So let's say, for example, so you're saying, I want to do Kinyan Chalifin, but you're saying that I want to make sure, we want to make sure that the Suder that I'm receiving is going to be equal in value to the thing that you want to trade to me. So Mai, what would be the din? Would we say that once you do Mashicha on one of them, that it works as regular Chalifin would, or would we say or would we say since he's Makbid on them, then we consider it Betoras Domim, then we consider it in effect a monetary sale, and then therefore, so you would need Mashicha of the other item, and not just of the Sudha. So that's the question. So the Gemara says, Omer Rab Arba Ava Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. A Braisa says, Harei Shahoya Tofes Parosiv Omer, suppose a person is holding on to his cow and standing there in the marketplace, Uvo Chaveriv Omaloi, and his friend comes and tells him, Parosva Loma, why'd you bring your cow to the marketplace? What are you planning to do with it? The other guy answers, L'chamur ani tzorich, because I don't need a cow anymore. Now I need a donkey. So I brought the cow over here to make a trade. So the other guy says, good. Yesh li chamur shani noisim l'cha. I have a donkey that I can give you. Paros chabakama. How much do you want? How much were you looking to sell your cow for? And he answers, b'kach v'kach, so and so much. Then the owner of the cow says to the owner of the donkey, what about your donkey? How much were you planning to sell it for? He says, b'kach b'kach, so and so much. So they make an agreement to make a trade. The Braisa says, Moshach bala chamur asapora. If the owner of the chamur makes it and does meshicha on the cow to do a kinyan, and then before the one who had the cow does meshicha on the donkey, before he has the chance to do that, ad shemesa chamur, and then the donkey dies before he had the chance to do meshicha, loy kona bal chamur sapara, then the owner of the donkey is not kona the para. So in other words, on the face of it, we have your kinyan chalifin, but we're saying that it wasn't chalifin in the sense that this is betoras domin, because each of them was asking how much is your animal worth, and we see that he's not kona shema mina chalifin or makbid aleihen loy kona. Therefore, you see, says Rab Adaba Ava, that uh, that from this braisa that if a person is makbir on the value of the chalifin, then he's not koinah. So when would kinyan chalifin work is the kind where, for example, we do when we sell our chometz or when we do tshnoyim by a wedding or whatever, where the other person doesn't care how much the other person doesn't care how much the sudder, the gautel or the handkerchief or whatever it is that we use for the kinyan chalifin. They don't care how much it's worth. It's almost more symbolic thing. I'm machna to you, you're machna to me. But here where each of them cares about the value and they were asking how much it's worth, then we're saying that that doesn't work as chalifin. It requires it has to work as damim, and therefore, in order for it to be a full sale, both sides would have to do mashicha. So there you go. So you see from that, says Rabbi Adaba Ava, that's how it works. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says that's not really a good proof. Otu chalifin b'shuchtin yaskinen. On the contrary, you have to ask like this: when the Torah to begin with tells us that there's a concept of chalifin, which is going to be, we learned that as we learned yesterday, and then we're going to have further down on the Amud, we learned that from the story of Boaz and the Goyal in Megillas Rus. Whether kinyan chalifin is truly midaraisa, Rashi says over here dekra in the pasuk. So is it actually midaraisa, or is it maybe halacha l'moshe Sinai that now we have was later on written in a pasuk, or various possibilities? There are different possibilities that Rishonim discuss. Anyway, so think of it, says Rava. In general, when you have the concept of chalifin, otu chalifin b'shuftin yaskinen, do you think the Torah would be talking to begin with about fools, deloy kafti, where people are not makbid? Most of the time, when you're doing kinyan chalifin, then yes, you care that you want to get something of approximately equal value. Rather, we have to say, says Rava, on the contrary, in general, by chalifin, you're usually makbid. And nevertheless, it works. So yes, in our case over here, when the one who owned the donkey does meshicha on the para, then he should be koina. Then he should be koina the para, and the other one at that moment acquires the chamor. And if afterwards the chamor dies, then that's it died in his reshus, and that's his problem. What about the braisa that you brought of Adaba Ava? V'hoch mayaskinen de omalei chamor para utle. The case of the braisa would be where he said, let's exchange, I'll give you my donkey, and you'll give me not only your cow, but also a sheep of yours. Because in other words, they say, when we're figuring out the value, it turns out the cow is worth a lot less than the donkey, and therefore he tells him, if you want us to do the deal, you're going to have to throw in a sheep as well. So now what happens is we're talking about that the owner of the chamur did meshicha on the para, but not yet on the tleh. Deloy havale meshicha malya. So therefore, you don't have a proper meshicha yet because you actually have you've only done meshicha on part of what's being used for the chalifa. So it wouldn't work. So in fact, Rava says, if the braisa was exactly as stated, that there's only a para and a chamor involved, then yes, it would be a valid kinyan as soon as he does meshicha on one, then automatically he's koina that one. And at that moment, the other one's koina the other one. And if later on it turns out dead, then that's his problem. But here we're talking about where it was a trade of two things for one, and he only did meshicha on one of the two things. So therefore, it's not a full kinyan, and therefore it wouldn't work. The Rashba actually points out something which is actually relevant as far as mechiras chametz. The Rashba points out, fine, so why shouldn't we say that at least he's koina an amount equal to the value of the object that he did the meshicha? So say in our example, say that the para was worth 100, the tle is worth 50, the chamur is worth 150. Why shouldn't we say that? Fine, he didn't. Well, the one did meshicha on the para, so now the other one should acquire 2/3 of the donkey, 100 out of 150. And he explains that this is a case called Yotze v'Nichnas, which we're going to learn about later in the Masechta in a little more detail, which is where he's saying, it's not just enough, you gave the down payment, I really need the rest of the payment, so please pay me as soon as possible. And then when he does that, then he's showing he's demonstrating with that behavior that he's not willing to actually sell the thing until he receives the whole payment, not just the down payment. the reason this is negeya as far as mechiras chametz, the Alter Rebbe points out and say to mechiras chametz that the typical way you do, after all, the mechiras chametz is just that you sell. You obviously the goy is not paying, the goy to whom you sell the chametz is not paying the entire value of the chametz on the spot. He wouldn't be able to. Rather, he gives you a down payment, and the deal is that after Pesach he'll give you the rest, or else he'll sell you back the chametz. Now, if you're Yotzev and Nichnas, if you're saying that, yeah, but for example, you know, I had all my cash tied up in my mashke, and if you don't pay me as soon as possible, then I'm going to go broke. So then it's Yotzev and Nichnas, and based on this, it wouldn't be a valid sale. That is why the Alter Rebbe came up with the idea that you have to have the Rav be your go between. You sell the chametz to the Rav. Or you sell the chametz to the Rav, or you at least make the Rav your agent or whatever, and then he's the one who deals with the goy rather than you, and that way there's no yotzev and nichnas, because the Rav doesn't have that concern about I need the money right away, and therefore it's a valid kinyan when the goy gives only the down payment. But over here, returning to our Gemara over here, the point is that Ashba explains that here, because it's Yotzev and Nichnas, because he really wants his Parah and his Tleh, so therefore, until he did Mashiach on both of them, then you don't have a valid Chalifin over here. There's another, the Me'iri makes a different point. The Me'iri says that after all, that kind of thing of buying part of it could work when you have something divisible. A Parah is one thing, a Chamur is one thing, it's one object, you can't really divide it without losing some of its value, so therefore that would be different. Anyway, so Rabba says, so that's what it is. So in other words, normally we would say that yes, you are makbid, nevertheless, chalifin is valid, provided it was one item for one item, or that if it was more than one item, mashicha has been done on all of them. Then at that point, we don't care about the respective values, and even if it's a lot less, then nevertheless, the kinyan is still valid, because that's how Rabba says in general, that's how chalifin works. So the Gemara says, Omamar, now getting back to Rav Huna had said before, according to Rabba, we said, Mechurli Be'elu Konav Yeshle Olavayna. We said that according to that, Rabba had quoted Rav Huna as saying that the sale does work and there is Ayna. And then we had Rab Abba's version of what Rav Huna said, that there's no Ayna. But the point is, both of them agree that there is Kinyan. Lema Sava Rav Huna Matbeya Nasa Chalifin. Does that mean that Rav Huna holds that coins can be used as the object for Chalifin? And in the previous sugya, we had the whole discussion that said that you can't, according to many Amiroim. And the answer is no. Rav Huna Savala Kerab Yechanan. Loi, the Gemara says no, not necessarily. Rav Huna Savala Kerab Yechanan, Domad Dvar Torah Mois Koinis. Rav Huna holds like Rav Yechanan, who says on the next Amud that really minat Torah money would work as a valid method of kinyan. Or mepnei ma omra mashicha koina. Why did the Chachamim change that and say that instead you need mashicha gzeira shemiyom elo nisrufu chitecha ba'aliya? Because we make a gzeira, because otherwise he might tell him your wheat was burnt in my upper chamber in my storehouse. Meaning, in other words, like this, as we discussed yesterday, you might conceivably have Reuven buys wheat or whatever it is from Shimon. He doesn't actually do mashicha on it. He leaves it in Shimon's storehouse. Meanwhile, he's already paid Shimon for it. So now, if a fire breaks out in the warehouse, Shimon doesn't really have much of an incentive to go and save it, because he's gonna think to himself, I already got my money. I already got what's mine. So therefore, if the wheat burns, it's not really my problem. So we don't want that. So therefore, by us saying that the kinyan has not been accomplished yet, then that gives him more of an incentive to save it, because otherwise he's not going to get his money. So now the point is, in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan's way of looking at it, it's not that midaraisa you need mashicha. Midaraisa kesef would be fine, but midarabanan we change that. Well then, milsa d'shchicha gazru barabanan. Well then, only when it's a common case are the chachamim going to make stugzera, milsa d'shchicha le gazru barabanan, when it's an uncommon case like this. How common is it, after all, that you're going to have mecholi be'elu, where Reuven is going to pick up a handful of coins and say, sell me your object for this, and Shimon is not even going to bother checking how much money we're talking about. It's a very unusual case, and therefore, Rav Huna says that the chachamim are not going to make a gzera about such a case in the first place. So in other words, so it is uh, So it is, in a certain sense, it is like chalifin, but not really. We're saying it is basically a kinyan kesef, but this is one of those cases where kinyan kesef would work. We talked about this yesterday. Similarly, Rav Nachman had said in a similar vein where you have a case over there that Rav Nachman had brought involving yesh domim shein kachalifin. We said where, for example, we're saying that previously Reuven had sold his cow to Shimon and Shimon still owes him the money. Shimon had done Mashiach on the cow and he still owes him the money. And later on he says, you know what, instead of giving you the money, I'm going to give you my donkey. So then that works also for the same reason. It's basically kinyan kesef, but we're saying that it works because, again, it's a milsa de la shchicha, and therefore that would be one of the cases where we allow the original type of kinyan involving kesef to stand, and we don't require mashicha in order for it to work. So here Rav Huna is saying the same kind of thing. However, Omalei Mar Huna Breder Rav Nachman Rav Ashi. However, Mar Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, points out to Rav Ashi, you don't really need that. Atun Hochi Masnisula, you've learned it. You've learned what Rav Huna says, the way that you did, the lashon that we had in the Gemara so far, where the way Rav Huna phrased it could make you think that he holds Matbea Nasa Chalifin, and therefore you had to explain that in this case he's saying that it's not Chalifin but Domim, that it's a matter of monetary transaction. You should know, says Mar Huna, Breder Rav Nachman, to Rav Ashi, Anan, we in our yeshiva, Hochi Masnin and Law, we learn it instead as follows. V'chein Omer Rav Huna, Ein Matbea Nasa Chalifin, that when we had the list of Amiroyim and Memvav Amir Aleph, who hold that Ein Matbea Nasa Chalifin, we actually have Rav Huna included in that list. So therefore, we had no reason to even question whether Rav Huna holds Ein Matbea Nasa Chalifin. It's clear that he doesn't, since he was on that list. And therefore, to begin with, we understood that Rav Huna is saying that here it works because he bases himself on Rav Yochanan's concept that Kinyan Kesef would work Minatoda, and therefore that there are cases where the Chachamim will allow it to remain that way. This is, by the way, you have this kind of thing many places in Shas where an Amora will point out to Rav Ashi or occasionally to Ravina, that kind of thing. Anan hochi masnin atun hochi masnin to law, anan hochi masnin law, because this is all part of the process of the editorial putting together of the Gemara, that Rav Ashi wants to find how the different chachamim learn things in the different yeshivas. And therefore, so you have people will come to him like Rav Huna, Breder of Nachman over here, and inform him. You should know that there are different versions of the sugya that are found in the different yeshivas, and they need to be incorporated into the Gemara. Okay, now that we've gone through the question of using a coin for chalifin, so now let's talk about more generally the mechanism of kinyan chalifin. The map bamer koinin. What do we use? Whose object?
What's the conclusion of all this sugya before we move on?
The conclusion is that coins do not work in chalifin for either side of things. You can't use it as the object for chalifin, the equivalent of the sudr. You can't acquire coins with chalifin. To acquire coins, like we had the story of Rapapa yesterday, you have to be makna that for somebody agav karka, or you have various other possibilities of how you can do it. Can you know diso, different other things, but you can't be makna them with chalifin. And in the case that we just said, Mechori Be'elu, we're saying it's not really chalifin after all, even though it has the appearance of chalifin. In reality, we're considering it Betoras Domim. We're considering it that it's a monetary sale. So therefore, that's why I know it would apply to it. However, we're saying, even though normally you would need Mashicha or some other form of Kinyan to accomplish the sale, here Kesef is enough because, again, it's such an unusual case that the Chachamim are not going to make a takana to the contrary about it. So, yeah, that's the maskana.
So Kinyan Chalifin is really an exchange of goods without care about the value? Is that what we're saying?
That's what Rava is saying. That Rava is saying, when you think about it, the original context where we have Kinyan Chalifin in Megillas Rus is that the Boyaz and the Goyal are making a deal over there. The Goyal, the other fellow, who the Pesuk doesn't say his name, the Medrash identifies him, that Medrash identifies him by the name Toiv. Anyway, that he's supposed to be buying back the property that Naomi has sold in order to keep it in the family. He's the Goyal, like it talks about in Parshas Bahar. And he's also in part of the deal. He's supposed to also marry Rus. And he says, I don't want to. I want to wash my hands of the whole thing. So he does a kinyan chalifin and with boyaz. And the Pasuk mentions that they use na'aloy, a shoe, or the Targum over there translates a glove. Now, obviously, the shoe or the glove is not worth anywhere near the amount of what Boaz is acquiring over here. So we see, therefore, Rava says that it doesn't really matter with Kinyan Chalifin whether the values are anywhere equal or not. Normally, it's going to work, provided that, as we said, that you have one item for one item, or that if you have multiple items, that you've done Mashiach on all of them. As we said before, if you have a Pora and a Tle, and you did Mashiach on only one of them, then it's true that won't be a valid Kinyan Chalifin. Because it goes by item, right? So that's what we said. So now that's what we said before. The Rashba had said, in principle, maybe it would work as long as he's not yotz of a nichnas, as long as he's not constantly demanding the rest of the money. If he is, then it's not really a valid. Then it's not really a valid kinyan, as I mentioned before. What the Alter Rebbe says in connection with mechiras chametz.
They're both together. Both animals are still going to work.
If they're both together, if the deal was, I'm going to give you a cow and a sheep, and you're going to give me a donkey, then if you did a mashicha on the cow, we're saying that doesn't work, and I'm not yet kind of the donkey, because you didn't do a mashicha on the full object that's supposed to be used for the chalifin. Okay. So the Gemara says,
the question, why do you have to do mashicha if it has nothing to do with a sale?
Because that's what Kinyan Chalifin is, that you're doing Mashiach of one item, and then automatically with that, the other one acquires the other item wherever it is, even if it's not present right now. That's the mechanism of Kinyan Chalifin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, "Bameh koinin, whose keli do you use for the purpose?" Rav Omer Kalev Shal Koinin. Rav says it means you use the keli that belongs to the koin, to the buyer. So in other words, what happens is, take for example, now you're selling your chametz to the Rav these days. So you're selling your chametz to the Rav. He's going to be buying the chametz from you. So he gives you his sudder. You're making a kinyan on the sudder. That's why you lifted up a tefach. That's the kinyan hagbah. So you're lifting it up and you're being koina. And in return, the other party, the Rav, is buying you chametz. And the same thing with any other kind of kinyan sudder. So the idea is, Rav explains, the reason why it works in that way, the koina, the one who's buying the other object, would prefer that the makna, the one who's selling him the object, is going to be koina his sudder, the ligma, the ligni lay, and that way the moicher will have a full fully in his das that he's actually going to sell it to him. In other words, Rav is saying, when you pick up the Rav's Gartel as Kinyan Sudder, with that, you're showing that you're sincerely going to go through with this, and you sincerely intend to sell the Rav your chametz, so to do whatever it is that you're accomplishing with Kinyan Sudder. The Levi Omer, the Caliph Shal Makna, Levi, on the other hand, says that you use a Kaili that belongs to the Makna. So in other words, what you're doing is that, and the reason is, as the Gemara is going to explain soon how it works. On the face of it, it sounds like Kinyan Agav. It sounds like along with the Sudder, you're also acquiring whatever it is. The Gemara immediately is going to ask on that doesn't seem to work. Kinyan Agav involves Karka, and there's no Karka over here. So we're going to get back to that in a second. Tosfos actually learns that it means that according to Levi, it would dafka have to be the keli of the makna. It cannot be the keli of the koina. On the other hand, there are rishonim who disagree with Tosfos and say that in fact, maybe according to maybe Levi means it could be either one. It could be Caleb shal makna, but it could also be, according to them, it might also be that Caleb shal koina would work as well. So the Gemara says, "Omalei Rav Huna b'discout to the Rava, or the Levi to Omer b'Kalev Shal Makna." Well, you have to ask. Says Rav Huna b'discout to Rava, according to Levi, who's saying that you use Kalev Shal Makna. The problem is, it means now you can use Kinyan Sudder for anything. You can use it for Karka as well. You can say, for example, I'm doing a Kinyan Sudder, and with that, I'm transferring you some Karka of mine. Now the problem with that is. Hokokoni ara agav glima. Doesn't that amount to then that you're acquiring the karka agav together with the garment? You're saying, I'm giving you my sudder, and along with that, I'm being makna to you my karka. So then in that case, imkain havulay nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayus niknin im nechosim sheyesh she'ein lahem achrayus nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayus niknin nechosim she'ein lahem achrayus. Then it comes out that you're acquiring nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayus, which is karka, together with nechosim she'ein lahem achrayus. You're saying I'm makna to you metaltlin the sudur, and along with that is going to come karka. And the sudur is nechosim she'ein lahem achrayus in the sense that they're not meshubad to a baal choiv. Now, Rav Honim Diskarta says, we learn in a Mishnah in Kiddushin the other way around. The other way around. Kinyan Agav works. I can be makna to you karka, and along with that comes metaltlin. As we had yesterday in the story with Rav Papa, where he's makna to Rav Shmuel over there, he's makna to him the threshold of his house, and along with it, he's makna to him 12,000 zuz that he was owed by those people in Bechazoi. But not the other way around. You, in effect, wouldn't Levi be saying that you're that agav this sudder, you're makna karka? How does that work? Amale. So Rava answers him. You should know something. You're so completely misunderstanding Levi. He have a Levi hocha. If Levi were to be present over here, he would be so upset with you that you misunderstood him so badly. Have a mapiko apach pulsa denura. He would be bringing out in front of you a pulsa denura. Pulsa literally means sparks of fire. Rashi explains the word pulsa. The basic meaning of pulsa is something round. We're going to have soon in the Gemara on Amud Beis. We're going to have when the Mishnah had mentioned asimon, which is a coin blank that doesn't have a design stamped on it yet. Then the Gemara calls it a pulsa. The basic meaning of pulsa is something round because little sparks of fire are also round. So Rashi says, there's a pulsa denura. Sometimes the Gemara uses it to mean like Malkus and Shemayim. We're going to have an example of it later in the Masechta. But here Rashi explains it means Levi would put you in chayv for thinking that he doesn't even know a basic Mishnah like that. Me sabret glima maknele. You're thinking that what it is he's makna the cloth, the sudder, and along with it he's moicher, and along with it he's transferring the ownership of the other thing. No. The fact is, he said, we're saying this because of the hanod that the other guy is willing to accept, that the other guy considers the sudder important enough to accept from him. With that, he's makned him the kapka. So it's not a matter of kinyan agav. It's a matter of a kinyan because he has a certain amount of hanov. Now we were showing him bring up an interesting point, which is. We learned in Kiddushin that you can have a case over there where usually we have, of course, Kiddushin involves the man giving the woman something, a shava pruta, and saying hareat mekudeshesli. But we learned in Kiddushin there can be a case where the other way around, where the woman gives a present to the man and he accepts it, and we say there's a hana over there. If he's an adam choshu, if he's an important person, then she has a certain hana that he's willing to accept a gift from her. But there it's only an adam choshu. Here by Kinyan Chalif and by Kinyan Sudr, Levi's not saying any such thing. So what's the difference? So there are a number of answers. The Ramban gives an answer that, look, by Chalifin, you don't require Shava Pruta. The Gemara is going to establish soon the Keli that you use for Chalifin does not have to be even worth a Pruta, as long as it's a Keli. So therefore, on the other hand, by Kiddushin, you need at least a pruta. So therefore, that would be a reason to draw that distinction and say that only if it's an odom choshu. Bechlal, you have discussion about that point when there's further details about this matter of Adam Choshev and would Rav agree with that concept, for example. He was saying that this is according to Levi that works because of that Hana. Is it possible that according to Rav as well, you might have that kind of thing where you can give something and it'll work on the grounds of Adam Choshev, or maybe not? Maybe Rav is saying across the board, you always need Caleb Shokona and that's that. So the Gemara points out to Tanoi. There's actually a machlokas Tanoim on this. The pasuk says, the pasuk from which we learn the whole concept of chalifin says, "V'zois l'fanim Yisrael." This is how it was formerly among Jews. Ala geula v'ala tmura, when it came to redeeming or when it came to exchanging. So geula was what was what was at stake over there, because you have fields that Nami had had the and Rus had had to sell that formerly were in the family. They belonged to Elimelech, they belonged to Machlon and Kilion, and now they need to be sold, and therefore goyel should buy them in order to keep them in the family. And tmura would be any other kind of exchange. Lakayim kol davar, to establish any matter. Shalaf ishnali v'nasan re'ehu, one person would take off his shoe and give it to the other one. Or again, the Targum on the pasuk over there, we don't know who wrote the Targum to Ksuvim, but there is a Targum to most books of Ksuvim that's printed in standard Makoros Gedolos, and there it translates nale as a glove. Maybe on the theory that a shoe is pretty filthy and whatever, especially with the muddy roads they had in those days, and how likely is it that they'd actually use a shoe for that? It would be a bazillion, so maybe therefore he prefers to translate glove. Whatever. Anyway, v'nosan l're'ehu, and he gives it to the other person. So, first of all, let's define the terms in the pasuk. Ge'ula zu mechira. The word ge'ula in the pasuk refers to selling, meaning selling b'toras domim. So you're selling with a monetary value that's been established, and now in order to confirm it, we're making a kinyan soder. As we find the word geula used in that context, v'cheinu oimer lo yigoyel. As we find that it says about an animal of kodshim that you can't sell it. That you can't sell it. You can't make a tmura with it. You can't exchange it, and you can't sell it. So we see that, and it says lo yigoyel. If you make a tmura with an animal, with an animal of kodshim, then lo yigoyel, you can't sell that tmura because it has kedusha. So we see that yigoyel means to sell. Tmura zu chalifin, the word tmura in the pasuk of ala tmura refers to kinyan chalifin, where you're doing kinyan chalifin without anything else. Avchenu Omer, as we find in that same pasuk, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomer oiser, as the pasuk says, he's not allowed to exchange it, and he's not allowed to trade it. So we see that lo yomer is the same shorter as tmura, so it means to exchange. In connection with korbanos, it means that you're not allowed to take an animal for a korban and exchange it with another animal. So the same thing over here, tmura means to do an exchange of my item for your item, barter. So then the pasuk continues, l'kayim kol davar, in order to establish any matter, to confirm any matter, shalaf ishnali v'nosan l're'ehu, then one person took off his shoe or his glove and gave it to the other. So, mi nosan l'mi, so the question is, who gave who the shoe or the glove? Boyaz nosan l'goyel, so the Tanakhama holds that Boyaz gave the goyel his shoe. So in other words, that would be like Rav. So that would be like Rav. So Boyaz is giving the other fellow his shoe, and in return, the other guy is makna to him his rights to the fields and to marry Rus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Goyel Nosin LaBoyaz, and Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around, the other guy, the Goyel, the potential Goyel, gave to Boyaz, which means he holds like Levi, that what it is he gives his shoe to Boyaz, and because Boyaz is willing to accept that shoe from him, then therefore, along with that, he's with the hana of that, he's makna to him his rights in the fields and his rights to marry Rus. So we see that there, that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda have exactly the same machlokas as Rav and Levi. Now Tosfos actually explains that really so according to Rashi, it comes out we're saying that so Tosfos actually has a different girsa of what pasuk the Gemara brings to prove that geula means mechira. You have a pasuk that says im lo yigoyel v'nimkar be'erkecha, talking about an animal that's a balmum, for example, or some other object that a person donated to bedek habayis, which is not actually going to be used for korbanos. So then the pasuk says that that hekdesh sells it, the imlo that you can buy it back from hekdesh, the imlo yigoyel, and if it's not redeemed from hekdesh, the nimkar be'erkecha, then the gizbo sells it for its value to somebody else, which is the whole concept of being poida things of kodesh bedek habayis and things that don't have kedushas aguf. So the point is that Tosfos says, though, on the contrary, then you see that yigoyel and nimkar are two different things. So first of all, Tosfos says, the correct girsa is as we have it in our Gemara over here that the Pasuk, the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk Lo Yigoil. However, Tosfos says we're actually talking about there are really three different kinds of kinyanim we're talking about over here. Not like it brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, from Rabbeinu Tam, rather. Not like Rashi, who says that the Pasuk is only hinting at two kinds of kinyanim. One, kinyan damim, where there's an actual known value of the thing. And second, kinyan chalifin, where, as we said before, we don't care about the respective values. There are really three kinds over here. You have mechira, where there's selling and there's money exchanging hands. There's chalifin, where there's shava b'shava, meaning where the two items are approximately equal value, like we were discussing before about the chamur and the para. And then the kayim kol davar. From that, we would learn that even you have a third kind of kinyan, which is chalifin, where it's enes shava b'shava, where you have, for example, a sudder for an entire house full of chometz or whatever. So Rabbeinu Tam explains that you actually have the pasuk is hinting that all three of those, then you can have a valid kinyan over here with kinyan sudder. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tana, we learn in a brisa, koinin b'kli afa pisha en b'shava prata. You're able to do kinyan, chalifin, with a keli, even though the keli is not worth a prota. Now, Omer Rab Nachman, Leishanu El B'Kli. However, Rab Nachman says, still though, it does have to be a keli. Avu B'Peri, but to use Peris, loy, then you cannot, no matter how much it's worth. Now, we discussed before, we learned before in the Gemara, about Rashi versus other Rishonim, is, for example, a live animal considered a keli. Rashi held that it is not. So according to Rab Nachman, it wouldn't work. Tosfos and many other Rishonim had learned that a live animal is considered a keli because you can use it. You can use it for plowing, for example. Tosfos had mentioned over there even a coin conceivably could be considered a keli. After all, a coin can be used as a weight. A coin can be used as jewelry or whatever. However, we said before you can't use a coin for chalifin because we mentioned the point that your daite atsursa, that the main thing the person has in mind when he uses a coin is the denomination stamped on it, and that can be invalidated by the government, and therefore it doesn't work. So according to Rashi, there's a much narrower definition of keli, and according to Tosfos and other Rishonim, there's a broader definition. But anyway, Rav Nachman says it has to be a keli, not peiros. Rav Shesha Soma, I feel the peiros. Rav Shesha says that no, it could even be peiros that you could use for a kinyan soda. My time with Rav Nachman. Now, why does Rav Nachman say it has to be a keli? He says, Nalai, because the Pasuk after all mentions a shoe or a glove, implying nal ein midyachrin aloi. So it has to be something similar to a shoe or a glove, which is a keli. Okay, my time, so midiachrin aloi, not something that's not a keli. My time did Rav Sheshes. Meanwhile, why does Rav Sheshes hold you could use Paris? Omakro lakayim kol davar, because the Pasuk says to confirm any matter. So that means that you can use anything, any matter or anything, meaning that you can use lakayim b'chol davar, in effect, as if the Pasuk is saying you could be makayim using any object. The word davar can also mean an object. Therefore, Rav Sheshes is going to allow you to use Paris. there is a point that so the Gemara says Lord of Nachman nami haksiv l'kayim kol davar. Okay, so according to Rav Nachman, what does he do with the word l'kayim kol davar? And the answer is ahu l'kayim kol davar the nikkin memino. He says no, the word kol davar doesn't mean that you can use any object. It means that any kind of kinyan, we said before, you have geula, you have tmura. According to Rashi, you had two types of things where you're selling b'toras damim versus where you're selling b'toras chalifin. According to Tosfos, you even have a third kind because within chalifin itself, you have shava b'shava or not. Then those kinds of things you can acquire with a minnow. In other words, that the kol davar includes both kinds of things. Any kind of sale or any kind of trade, you can use a kinyan sudder for the purpose. But it doesn't mean that you can use any object for the kinyan sudder, says Rav Nachman. Okay, what about Rav Sheshes Nami Haksiv Naloi? According to Rav Sheshes, why does it have to mention Naloi? And the answer is Omalach Rav Sheshes Man Naloi Dover Hamasuryam Af Kol Dover Hamasuryam. The answer is a Nal is a complete object. So therefore, you can learn from that that any object you're using for Chalifin, it does have to be a complete object. La puki chatzi rimin v'chatzi ego is deloy, as opposed to, for example, a half a pomegranate or a half a walnut that you can't use because it's not a complete thing. Tosfos points out, now, for example, you could have, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that you can have, for example, when it comes to Kinyan Suder, you don't have to actually hold the entire Suder. It's enough to hold Shalosh al Shalosh, to hold a part of it, 3x3 etzbos. So Tosfos says, fine, because the fact is, that's considered a Dover Mesuyam in the sense that that has importance in Halacha, as far as Dinim of Tum of Atara and certain other Dinim, that 3x3 is considered enough to be considered a Beged of its own. So therefore, it can be considered that you're Koina that way. But not, for example, where you have over here a half a fruit, then it wouldn't work. The Ritva talks about, what about, for example, if let's say you have a half a keli, conceivably you could make it into a complete keli, maybe that would work, or maybe not. The Rashba says that no, anytime it's a half, then Rav Sheshes would agree it's no good. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Sheshes b'rei de Rav Igi. Kiman kasvin and ha'idna. Now, whose opinion are we following when we write nowadays in a shtar? When we have a shtar where we write that a kinyan has taken place, take for example a ksuba. You have over there after we list all of the obligations that the chosin has accepted on himself. So we say v'kanena. We made a kinyan that he's accepted on himself these responsibilities, and we use the expression b'mana de kosher l'mikni abay. With a keli that is that's suitable to be used for kinyan. You have that lashon is actually found in a ksuba, a panena, miyad pliny ben pliny, but mona to kosher l'mikni abay. So why do we use that expression? Says Rav Sheshes b'rei d'Ravidi, b'mona, the word b'mona, which means a keli la pokim in the Rav Sheshes. That means that we're saying we do not hold like Rav Sheshes, da'ama koinin b'peiris, where Rav Sheshes had said you could use peiris for a kinyan. Therefore, we stress in the shtar, we're not doing that. We're using b'mona, we're using davka keli, the way Rav Nachman holds. The word de kosher means apukim in the shmuel. The word de kosher that is suitable, that comes to exclude the din that Shmuel says, da'ama koinin b'maroika. Shmuel says that you could do a kinyan using, that you could use kinyan chalifin using maroika. Rashi, what? No, so Rashi explains, maroika, the mem is part of the shoresh. Rashi explains that it means a keli that's made out of animal waste. You take dried animal dung and you make it into a keli. That's not dead. So Shmuel holds such a keli is considered choshuv enough to use for kinyan suda. So now we say the kosher. We say no. We do not hold like Shmuel, and you cannot use that kind of thing for a kinyan chalifin. Tosfos brings a different explanation that a maroika is not actually a keli at all. It's pits from dates. The purpose of them is that you would use them, right? You're making parchment for, say, for Torah, for any kind of shtar, whatever. You would use date pits to rub on the, they have a little bit of a sharp side to them. So you use them to rub on the parchment to make it smooth. So therefore, like sanding it, kind of. So therefore, so Shmuel is saying you could use such things for kinyan chalifin. And we're saying that no, by saying the word de kosher, we're excluding such things. They're not considered a keli for that purpose. And l'miknia, when we say to be koina, that means la pukimi de Levi. We're saying that we're excluding what Levi says. In other words, l'miknia means to be koina with this object, not to be makna with it. So la pukimi de Levi. So to exclude what Levi says, da'amu b'kelev shal makna, where Levi had said he used the keli of the makna. Kamash Malan, the mikni of Loyla Kanuyebe. Therefore, we use the expression l'miknia. We're using this to acquire. In other words, we're making a trade. I'm giving you my sudder, and in return, you're giving me or selling me such and such. As opposed to, if it was according to Levi, the expression we lack nuye be, to be makna with it, because you're saying, I'm makna to you, my sudder, and along with that, I'm makna to you because of the hana, that you're willing to accept the sudder, I'm makna to you such and such. But the word lamiknia doesn't suggest that. The word lamiknia implies that one person is acquiring the sudder, and the other person is acquiring the object at stake over here. So therefore, the word l'miknia tells us that we're following Rav in that. So that's why we use this expression. Now what about the last word? When we say b'mona de kosher l'miknia bay, we're doushing each of these words. So again, b'mona means it has to be dafka keli, not like Rav Sheshes. De kosher means it has to be a suitable keli, not like Shmuel's moroik. The l'miknia means like Rav, not like Levi. We're using Caleb Shokoin. What is the word bay? When we add the word bay, what does that add? There we have a machlokes. Rapapa amalama utimat beya. Rapapa says it comes to exclude a coin, because a coin And the word bay is a mute. It means, in other words, only with this, but not something else. So that means not coins. So that means not coins. So now, according to Rashi, who already said that a coin is not considered a keli, then it would be already excluded by Bimana. So the Pnei Yeshua, the Maharam Shif and the Pnei Yeshua explain that, at least on the other hand, it is more of a keli than fruit. So when Rav Sheshet was saying that you don't follow Rav Sheshet and you can't use fruit, you still might have thought you could use a coin, and therefore we have the word bay to exclude that. According to Tosfos, necessarily you need to, because according to Tosfos, a coin really would be considered a keli, because you can use it for weighing things or for jewelry or whatever, and therefore we need to stress that no, bay, you still can't use a coin for chalifin. So according to Rav Papa, that's what we're excluding with the word bay. But Rav Zvid, Tamer Rav Ashi, Rav Zvid says, or some say Rav Ashi said, la puki isur, la ma'uti isur hana. It comes to include that we're not using a keli, which is also bana. Say, for example, a keli that was used as tikroi v'sabadazara, that was used as an offering to a getchka or from an eonidacha, so what have you. Yeah. Now, Ikadamri, another version of bay, amara papa, uti matbea de kosher. Another version, on the other hand, is that our papa says the word bay, on the contrary, is not a mute. It comes to include, it comes to say that it means that a matbea would actually be kosher. So according to the first version, bay is to be mamayat matbea. According to the second version, it actually includes that a matbea would be kosher. Because again, we have the different opinions that said that you can't use coins for chalifin, but our papa is disagreeing with that. Omer of Zvid, Tamer of Ashi, the Ma'uti Surihana. And according to that second version, Rav Zvid, or some say Rav Ashi says, it means to exclude Surihana, Avo Morika Lo Itzrich, but when it comes to Moroika, the type of keli or the date pits that we said before, loy itzrich, you don't even need a word in the shtar, in the lashon of the shtar, to tell us that you can't use it. It's so obvious that it's not considered a keli for that purpose that we don't even need a miut in the lashon of the shtar for it. Okay, so that's that. So we've established now that we've established the mechanism by which Kinyan Chalifin works. We follow Rav. We say that's Caleb Shokona, meaning, in other words, that we're making a trade. I'm giving you my Suder, and in return, you're giving me whatever it is.
What did the Gemara answer? How could you use this for a talton?
So the answer, well, first of all, we said not according to Levi. We're saying the Halacha is not like Levi. Levi himself would say it's a matter of Hana. I'm giving you my sudder, and I have hana that you're willing to accept it for me. Therefore, I'm willing to be machna to you whatever it is that goes along with it. But we said not like that. It's like Rav, that it's rather a trade. I'm giving you my sudder. You're giving me such and such. It's negeya. Now, you know, these days we're selling a chomet to the Rav. We should know when we're doing the Kenyan sudder with the Rav, that's the mechanism by which it works. The Rav is giving you his gartel or whatever he's using for a Kenyan sudder, and in return, you're giving him your chomets. Which is how Rav is saying. No, so that's Rav is saying in general. That's how Kenyan Chalifin works. It would work the same way if we were trading a Parah for a Chamor. It would work the same way if we're trading. Suder for Karka. Whatever. Always the idea is I'm machna to you something and return your machna to me something else. There's a cute line that Beryl Wine has in one of his books on this. He says a Rav should always have a handkerchief with him when he needs a Kenyan Sudder. A Rav should also have a handkerchief with him in case he needs to blow his nose. And preferably it shouldn't be the same handkerchief.
but when you do a Kenyan Sudder, you never keep the Sudder. You always give it back
to the
Rav.
You return it to the Rav afterwards, of course. Yeah, that doesn't matter. You made a valid Kenyan on it. You picked it up a tefach. You made a valid kinyan on it. Fine. Afterwards, you give it back to the Rav as a present, and you give him some mechiras chometz geld. That's neither here nor there. Okay. Going on in the Mishnah, we said asimon koneh samachbeya v'chola. We said that if you're trading an asimon for coins, so then we said the asimon is not considered coinage because therefore when one guy does the meshicha on the asimon, that's considered the peiros, that's considered the goods, and therefore when he does meshicha on it, then now you owe him that amount of money that you agreed. So my asimon, what is the definition of asimon? Omarab mois hanitonis besimon lebeis amerchot. It means the kind of tokens that are used when you give that you give by the bathrooms. So in other words, Rav is saying, you have the bathhouse attendant needs to know how many people. It's not so much you're using them to pay him for it. What you're using is you're giving him as a token so he knows how many people are there, how many people to heat up water for. So therefore, so Rav says that's the definition of asima. But the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction on that. A Mishnah says in Maisa Sheni, Ein Machal and Maisa Sheni al Asimon, you cannot be Machal or Maisa Sheni on Asimon, the loyal Mois and Tonis Besimon Lebes Amerchot. You also can't be Machal on these kinds of tokens that are given at the bathhouse. Miklal Dav Simon, Lav Mois and Tonis Besimon Lebes Amerchot. Therefore, you see that an Asimon is a different thing. It's not the same thing because the Mishnah is distinguishing between them. The reason is, the Gemara is going to mention further down, because it has to be Dover Sheyesh Olav Tzura. It has to be a coin that has a design on it. So these tokens that are given in the bathhouse don't have a design, or if they have a design, then it's not a very important one. The old Asimonim, they had a design on them, yeah.
I don't know,
they had some kind. They had at least like a pattern on them, whatever. Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. So so you're going to say, okay, well, the Mishnah is just defining. It's saying that you can't use an asimon. And what is an asimon? Is mois anitonis b'simon lebeis amerchatz? No, v'hol etona hochi. We learn a braisa that says differently. The braisa clearly says machal and mois sheni al asimon divrei Rav Doisa. Rav Doisa holds you could be machal mois sheni on an asimon. V'cham in machal, and the chum say you cannot. The shoving, but they both agree that you cannot be machalit on tokens that are used for the bathhouse. So we see that clearly that an asimon and mois anitonis besimon lebeis amerchot are two different things, because Rav Doisa allows you to use one of them for mois sheni and the other one not. Ela omer Rav Yechanan my asimon pulsa. Rather, Rav Yechanan says that the definition of asimon is a pulsa, is a blank. A blank round piece of metal that is going to be used for coinage, but has not yet been stamped. Tosfos actually at the beginning of the Perek disagrees with that, and says that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, a siman does mean that it has some kind of design on it, but not a very important one, not the kind that people would actually use as coinage. So therefore, So first he mentions, according to Rashi, anything where it doesn't have its proper completion can be called an asimon. So either where it has no image at all, or where it has some kind of image, but it's not a very choshev one. So Tosfos explains over there that it means that an asimon does have an image on it, but ain't a yotze b'hitza, it's not usable as currency. They say actually in the dictionaries they have the word asimon, the word in Greek a lot of times is a prefix meaning not, and simon means like in Lashon Kodesh, simon, I know, an image. So asimon would mean something without a simon, something without an image, without a design, which would fit more with Rashi. But again, according to Tosfos, we don't mean that it's completely without an image. We just mean that it doesn't have a very chosh of a one and it doesn't circulate. Now, in explaining the Mishnah that way, Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his own svara. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Doisa, Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Dover Echad, because Rabbi Yochanan points out that you should know when Rabbi Doisa is saying over here that you can use an asimon to redeem Maisa Sheni, and the Chum disagree, Rabbi Doisa and Rabbi Shmuel are both in effect saying the same thing. Rabbi Doisa Hadamar, and we just said that Rabbi Doisa says you can use an asimon to exchange Maisa Sheni for it. Rabbi Shmuel Maihi, where do we see Rabbi Shmuel says something about that? Netanya, we learn in a braisa, when the posuk says b'tsauta kesef b'yodcha, the posuk says you should b'tsauta the money in your hand and go to Yerushalayim. Now we learned in the previous parak the word with the simple meaning of b'tsauta means you should bundle up, and we learn from that a person should always make sure his money is safely bundled up. But nevertheless, the word v'tsauta, so the rabbis called davra nitzra b'yad divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it would include anything that can be wrapped up and bundled and taken in your hand. So therefore, he doesn't care whether it has an image on it or not, as long as it's coinage that can be wrapped up and bundled like that. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, the rabbis called davra sheyesh olav tzura. Rabbi Akiva says that no, the word v'tsauta is meloshon tzura, means it has to have a design on it. So according to Rabbi Akiva, which is the chachamim against Rabbi Doisa, you can't use an asimon for Maisa Sheni. So therefore, it comes out that both Rabbi Doisa and Rabbi Shmuel are saying you can use an asimon because that's Rabbi Yochanan is explaining. That's how we see that an asimon, it's not like Rabbi David said, it's those little tokens that you give by the bathhouse, which do actually have a design on them. Rather, we mean blanks that have nothing on them, or at least not a very choshev image on them, and nevertheless, Rabbi Doisa allows you to use them, and the chachamim represented by Rabbi Akiva do not. We said in the Mishnah, Ketzad, we said, what does this mean as far as this matter of Hazahav, Kones, Akesef, and so forth, that one thing, when do we say one thing acquires the other and when not? So the Mishnah had said, Ketzad, Moshach Hemenu Peres, if you have a deal between Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven has done Meshicha on the Peres, he hasn't yet paid the money. Once he did Meshicha on the Peres, then he can't, then neither of them can change their mind. On the other hand, if only money has been paid yet and no Meshicha has been done on the goods yet, then either one could change their mind. However, there was Mishapara involved, as it explains later in the mission. So, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Dvar Torah Mois Koines. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Mina Torah, the exchange of money would accomplish a kinyan. So why did the Chachamim change it and say that Mashicha instead is Kona? Like we said before, because otherwise he might say your wheat got burnt in the storehouse, meaning I already received my money. I have no incentive to save your wheat from getting burnt. So therefore, instead, by requiring that there has to be Mashicha, then therefore that ensures the guy is going to take his wheat first, and therefore or we're going to say that until the money is paid, there's no kinyan, and therefore that's going to give him an incentive to save it in order to be able to get his money. Tosfos points out, now you do have the other way around. Why didn't the Chacham say that you need both? You need money and you need Meshicha. Well, then you have the other way around. Then the Lekeach can say, Nisu Fuchitecha Ba'aliyah, the wheat burned, and it's not my problem, and I shouldn't have to pay you. So therefore, so like this, by saying that you need Meshicha, that guarantees that he's going to take it out of the other guy's Rishus, and therefore there's going to be no problem of Nisru Fuchitecha Ba'aliyah. The wheat is going to be in his Rishus by the time the Kinyan has been accomplished. We talked about the other day something that the Rebbe talks about in a sicha. The deeper, first of all, there are maimorim that talk about the idea. The deeper idea is that kinyan kesef refers to a serusa del eila, where a person has a yearning nichsafta to a likus that comes up nishban him milamaila, and dvar torah mois konis minat torah. That's all you need. Then we say the chachamim said no. You also need mashicha. You need that you should draw yourself up to a likus mashcheni acharecha norutza, and therefore that's how it is. So the Gemara says, soif, man de shodded leka boy shalumi. What do you mean? If there was a fire, whoever set the fire is going to have to pay. So what's the difference whether nisr fuchitecha ba'aliyah? Either I have to pay you, or the guy, either way, the guy who set the fire is going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay me, he's going to have to pay you. What's the difference? Nobody's losing out over here, except the fellow who committed arson. Not that somebody might set a fire. A fire might break out ba'onis on its own. So if you say that the property, that the wheat or whatever is going to be in the reshus of the seller, then he's going to be moser nefesh and go to the trouble of saving it because he wants his money. If you don't do that, then he's not going to bother, and he's going to say, okay, so it burnt, it's not my problem. So that's according to Rabbi Yechan. Rish Lakish says no. It actually says beferosh in the Torah that there is Meshicha. Namely, the pasuk says Omakro. As he's going to explain, yeah. My time of the Rish Lakish Omakro v'chisimkeru mimkar l'amisecha. The pasuk says if you sell something to your friend, oy kone miyad amisecha, or if you buy something from the hand of your friend, meaning dovra nikne miyad v'yad. So we mean that we're talking about when is the kinyan accomplished, when it goes from hand to hand, which is Meshicha. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Miyad Lamorti Karka Deles Ve'Einav." Rabbi Yechanan says, "No, the Miyad Amisecha comes to tell us that when it, now the context of the pasuk after that, the pasuk continues, Al Tonu Ishes Achiv, which is the issue of Einav, which we're going to discuss next in the Perek, in a couple of days." So Rabbi Yechanan says, "The words Oikonu Miyad Amisecha comes to tell you that when it comes to Karka, there's no concept of Einav." All the various brackets that we're going to talk about in a couple of blocks from now, that there's a certain amount where we say that you're moichel, and a certain amount where we say kono maxo no, it's a valid kinyan, but you have to reimburse the other guy for the overcharge. And then you have cases where there's bitul mekach, where you can say, I want to void the sale altogether. Rabbi Yechanan says, none of that applies to karka. How do we know that? Because it says miyad amisecha, and karka is not transferred from hand to hand. So Rabbi Yechanan says, you don't have that to learn the concept of meshicha being a kinyan. Rish Lakish, what is Rish Lakish answer to that? He agrees with that din. But imken lichtiv krov chisimker mimker miyad amisecha al toinu. Then the pasuk could say, when you're selling something to your friend, to your fellow yid, then don't do I know. oi kono lomali, why does the pasuk have to add or buy from your fellow yid? Therefore, Rav Shlokher says, from that you learn that oikonoi, how is the kinyan accomplished? Miyad, by taking it from his hand and bringing it into your hand, which is Meshicha. So in other words, Rav Shlokher is saying, in effect, you can learn both dinim from the one pasuk because you have different expressions in the pasuk. One that teaches us, v'chisimkeru mimkar, when you're selling, al toinu, and it says over there, v'chisimkeru mimkar la'am. So in other words, he's saying, because like this, why does it have to mention Mechira and Kinyan and only then use the word Miyad? It could have said, B'chisimkeru mimkar liyad amisecha, when you're selling something into the hand of your fellow yid. And we learn from that, not kalka, because it doesn't go from hand to hand. The fact that it mentions Mechira and Kinyan, and only then it mentions Yad, so he says it means both. It means that it doesn't include kalka, but it also means that there has to be Meshicha for there to be a valid Kinyan. What about Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan oikonoi my ovidle. What is Rabbi Yechanan doing with the word oikonoi? Mi boile the chidatanya. He would use it for what we learn in the following brisa. V'chisimkeru mimker altonu. When the pasuk says when you sell something, then don't defraud, don't cheat the other guy on the price. That means ein li elashin es ana lekeach. From that, you would only know if the lekeach was defrauded. So the lekeach overpaid for the thing. So you have something that was worth $10 and you sold it to the guy claiming that it's worth $20 and he bought it, which is Aina, which is one of the cases of Aina that we're going to talk about later on in the pattern. But you could have the other way, where the moicher was defrauded, where the moicher doesn't realize that the thing is worth $20 and somebody comes and says, I'll buy it off you for $10. How would we know that that's also considered Aina, and that the moicher would have the right later on to say, I want my money back, or I want to be mevatel the sale, or whatever, as we're going to learn later in the parak. Tamad loma, oikonoi, al toinu. Therefore, the pasuk says, or when you're buying, then al toinu. So therefore, that's what Rav Yechanan is using the word oikonoi for. It works for both of them. Resh Lakish, and what about Resh Lakish? Tauti gomamine. He says you can learn two things from that. You have, after all, you have the mashmos, the word oikonoi al toinu. It's true, means that when you're buying, don't do oinah. But in addition, also because it says oikonoi miyada misecha, the putting the two words together implies that kinyan requires miyad, that you're doing, that you're taking it from the hand of the other guy and putting it into your hand, which is mishif. So Rish Lakish says you don't really need separate psukim for that. You can learn all that from the mashmos of the pasuk. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll discuss various proofs to one side or the other about this machlokas of Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish about whether kinyan kesef is daraisa or whether kinyan meshicha rather is daraisa only derabanan. So we'll continue working that out tomorrow, Best Hashem. Back, everyone.